affected us. So we have to see ourselves now in America as people who are cut off from their previous traditions, previous disciplines, previous culture, previous history, and left here in America in the dark. And God has reached us with a Moses, not in the person of one particular man, but with a Moses in a body of knowledge and principles, etc. He has reached us. And that Moses have taken us out of the darkness into the light. So we have had an exodus from the world of darkness that our circumstances had us in to a world of light. Light of the way of God. So don't think God doesn't repeat these things that happened in the past. Moses came and he did a job. You think his thing ain't going to be repeated? In time and history, there will be other people in the same state, same situation, same circumstances that the people of Moses were in. And God, if he was justified to give them a Moses, then he's justified to give the next people in their same circumstances a Moses. So don't doubt the magnitude and the depth of what has happened in America among you. I should say among us, because I'm among you and I'm one of you. Don't underestimate the magnitude of it. Now, getting back to life of disciplines. Islam wants from us a life of discipline, but it doesn't want us to just have this discipline and follow it blindly. It wants us to appreciate it. It wants us to love it. It wants us to feel enthusiastic about it. It wants us to feel thankful to God and be jubilant. Want to celebrate. Want to shout. That's how it makes me feel. Yes, that's how it makes me feel. And I said earlier that others before us, they had Islam and they were Muslims. But they weren't called by those names. They were called by other names. But when you studied what they lived by and studied how they respected it, you must say that those people put the will of God first. And they submitted their will to the will of God. So they were Muslims. It doesn't have to be in Arabic. It can be in Greek. It doesn't have to be in Arabic. The truth is the truth, no matter what language you put it in. So if they were yielding to the will of God, and that's what they were striving for, to obey His will, they were Muslims practicing Islam. I'm doing nothing but giving you a tafsir. This is only a tafsir. And it's tough on those that can't hear. Some of you can't hear. Some of you can't hear. Your ears are plugged up with your defiance, with your selfish glory. You have a selfish glory. Nobody can see it but you, but you're going to hold on to it forever. That's your selfish glory. Don't be like that. I love you. I wouldn't come here and struggle with you if I didn't love you. Yes. Now, getting back to this. In Christianity, this idea is mystified heavily. But I'm going to just conclude this with a few words. Allah, God Most High, invited the archangel Gabriel in the Bible to see his creation. And he showed it to Gabriel. And Gabriel said to the Lord, he said, "My Lord, how can anyone err or go wrong in such a wonderful world?" Then within an instance, I guess like the wave of a hand or something, God showed him the world after Satan had worked on it. or put his allurements throughout it. And Jibril said, "My Lord, how can anyone go straight in such a world?" Now think about this. God is saying through Muhammad, really, because Muhammad reported this, peace be upon him. God is telling us through Muhammad that the world as he made it was perfect and beautiful. And isn't that what Genesis says? See, on the first day he did such, such, such. And God saw that it was good. He beheld that it was good. Second day, and he beheld, all the way up to the last day, seventh day, and he beheld that it was good. But then something happens in Genesis. There is a repetition. And he makes man again. After he had made the whole world and everything, in all the seven days. Now, what does that tell you? Think. Because that's the description of males in Islam. Thinker. Think. Not that women don't think, or the Quran says no, and the thinking women. The believing men and the believing women, the thinking men and the thinking women. So it's there. We know they think, but it's more characteristic of us to give a whole lot of serious thought to things to get what we want. Okay? So, anyway, and it's usually for the public world, the outside world, not for the home. Thinkers were not looking at the wallpaper when they came up with all those great ideas. My brother, I heard him over there. I know his voice. They weren't looking at the wallpaper, brother. They were looking at the universe when they were coming up with all those great ideas. Yes. So anyway, man is a thinker. And if God did all of this in Genesis, each day is given, and he concluded everything, he said it was good. If he did the sixth day and it was good, then how can he back up now and make man on the sixth day? You understand? Man was already made. On the sixth day, he also made man. And he saw that the whole world was good, including man. But after Muhammad explains this to us, peace be on him, so we can understand it. But after the Satan put his deceits all over the world, then he made man again. After Satan had confused things, he made man again. The proof that he had confused things because man was under a deep sleep. He made him, and caused him to be under a deep sleep. And then he made from him his mate while he was under a deep sleep. So even his mate was from the world that had been influenced by the Satan. He made him from his mate while he was under a deep sleep. If he was under a deep sleep, his mate also was under a deep sleep. Now, his identity, it really identifies his nature and his purity by God, made by God. So really, he's just called sleeping. But look what his wife is called, Eve. And Eve means the sun is going down. Eve is the sun going down, you see? So she is dark side. She's the dark side of him. And she is the one created after the influence of Satan on God's creation. So no wonder then that Genesis charges her with his mistakes. Because he was just sleeping. But while she's awake, she's in the dark. The bright sun has gone, and it's evening time for her. She wants to rest, not work. Evening time back then was for resting, not for work. It was for resting. So Eve, she was born to rest, not to work. And this is another thing that distinguishes Islam from other religions, especially those of the Christians. The Christians have their religion coming as religion coming to give you rest. Islam is a religion that says your God never takes rest. But in the Old Testament, the believers, the faithful, ask God, when will you rise up from your sleep? God even sleeps. When will you rise up from your sleep and deal with our problems? The Quran comes and says, God does not slumber and does not sleep. That's a correction of what it said in the Old Testament about God, you see? And then the Christians say, he comes to give you rest. The Quran says, surely with difficulty comes rest. Accept the difficulty first and you'll get the rest later. See the difference between the religions? And these are real, deep, profound differences. It makes a big difference. Do you know, I'm going to say it. Do you know if it wasn't for the Jews and the religious teachers of the East who have ancient knowledge, America couldn't have come where it has come? If they had been left alone to find their way on this planet, they'd still be in paganism. Jews came to them with a message to convert them. And after converting them, their wise ones have been beside them to give them wisdom for the times. Listen to me. Wisdom for the times, including this present time. But they were left on their own, they couldn't make it. There are few of them that know what's happening, but they can't do anything about it. They can't do anything about it. They can't change what has been done. And if they would change it, what would they do? They can't make it better. They can only clean it up, but they make it better. The idea is good, but it just needs to be consistent in terms of morals, moral principles, and ethics. It needs to be consistent. See, and they have the freedom to make it consistent, but they're too weak. They're too weak. So the stronger, who have more disciplined lives, they always in a position to tell our bosses what to do. And believe me, they tell our bosses what to do. Yes, they do. The wise, they call the angels, tell our bosses what to do. But in Islam, we don't have that. We don't have that. The Quran is plain, clear, and not mystified to the extent you can't find your way. It has a lot of mysticism in it, yes. But it has the language is so clear on what you're supposed to do as a Muslim or a believer that you can't miss the way. No, you can't miss the way. And if you hold on to that is sure light for your feet to be guided by, God will reveal to your heart and your head that you are not able to find by yourself. I'm a proof of that. This man is proof of that. Yeah. He will give you, he will reveal. And Allah says in the Quran, he reveals to whomsoever he wills. Whomsoever he guides, he guides by his will. And whomsoever he leaves without guidance is left without guidance. That's God. So don't think God guided Moses and won't guide you. If ain't nobody to help but you, God gonna guide you. Just like he did Moses. Doesn't mean you're gonna be a prophet, but he will guide you just like he guided Moses. The learned teachers in Islam, they even believe in the end of time, and I don't know when the end of time is going to come, if it's not here now. They believe that there's going to be a guided one after Muhammad. They call them the Mahdi. And they have basis for this in the sayings of Muhammad, the teachings and sayings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that he will be the rightly guided one. the Mahdi. And Sudan claimed the Mahdi, as you who are familiar with the history of Sudan, the Muslim history of Sudan. They claimed the Mahdi. He was a great leader for them. They claimed the Mahdi. And it doesn't mean that you have only one Mahdi. No. Whenever there's a need for a Mahdi, you will have a Mahdi. Yes. And Prophet Muhammad said that God will also give his followers a Mujaddid. A Mujaddid comes from the word Jadid, which means new. Will give the world a Mujaddid. And not only in the end of time, but at certain periods of time, when the need arises, he will give the people a Mujaddid. So Islam will never be lost. Islam will lose its newness and become old, dilapidated, unattractive to the intelligent and beautiful natured people. But God has told Muhammad, and he has told us. God has inspired Muhammad to tell us, whenever it's necessary, he will have one that will bring about a renewal and bring back the freshness, the beauty, the firmness. See, when a thing gets old, it loses its firmness too. The firmness. And that's the first thing we were given to condition us for accepting Islam. We were given firmness. I've heard some of the lieutenants, firm up there, fruit, firm up. We were given firmness. It made us strong, firm. I've talked much longer than I had planned to. But when I come among you, I'm looking in your faces, I just can't come in here and say hello, goodbye. Can't be that quick, you know. Yes. Yes. So here is the beauty. The creation that God showed Jibreel, Gabriel, was what the Christians call virgin creation. Virgin creation. It hadn't been adulterated by straying man, or errant man going away from the way. It was as God made it. It was a beautiful, healthy, virgin world. Virgin world. And Satan, not wanting man to be his own leader, mankind, I mean. Man meaning mankind. What I mean, he didn't want the unity of the human family under human leadership. Okay? As clear as I can make it, and that's clear enough. He didn't want the unity of mankind, all the nations and races of people, to be in harmony with one another and to have a human as their leader. And God says, I'm going to have it that way whether you like it or not. So he made Adam to be the first Khalifa for all people. Then he sent Noah and others between time. And he sent Ibrahim. And he sent Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ is a sign that a leader will be born out of virgin creation. No man would have tampered with her. Isn't it beautiful? Oh, buddy, I'm telling you, I couldn't imagine that I would one day see this world and this religion with these eyes I'm seeing of it now. I couldn't have imagined it. And I regret that my father's not here. He would be jumping for joy. That man would be so happy. Yeah? Because he was a man devoted to searching and obeying God. Not just obeying him, but searching too. Searching for the truth and obeying his God. That's the kind of man he was. Yes, he was a scripture man. He was a man of scripture. He loved scripture. That was his love. Scripture. Yes. Okay, so now we have this belief that God created the world and He created it yielding to the will of His Creator. And now He makes us from that creation, therefore we are inherently Muslim. That means the material that made you already had, the material that formed you already had Muslim in it before you were formed. That's what it means. So you are inherently Muslim. You are inherently Muslim, and your religion by nature is Islam. You were created for Islam. But it took God to reveal this to you because man's mental powers are limited. He had ideas. He found without God revealing anything to him, he found for himself that God, there is a God, and God is one. Those people who found that in the Bible, they are called seers, S-E-E-R-S. They are called seers. They are called, what other name they are called, Sponic? Seers. But in world knowledge, not scripture, they are called philosophers. Philosophers. In the Bible, they are called seers. So, and then God says, this is concluding this, then God says to us, this is the religion of fitrah. And God gives us some understanding of what fitrah means. He says, He is the one that fitrah from fitrah, or fitrah is from fitrah. He is the one that fitrah, samawati wal ard, the skies and the earth, which means He is the one that brought about for the first time the skies and the earth. It means originated. Originate means bring about for the first time. He is the one that originated the skies and the earth. Then He says to us that He gives us Islam. And He says of Islam, it is the religion of fitrah. So it is the religion of origin. This religion is the religion of origin. Isn't this in accord with the Bible and the people and the Old and New Testament and the people with that traditional spirit and hope? The people saying who were lost and in misery, give me that old time religion. It was good enough for my fathers, it's good enough for me. Isn't that what they sang? How could they have been singing about the church when they were not yet free to even go into church? How could they have been singing about the church? That was an inkling of connection with Islam that they still had in their spirit if they didn't have it in their thoughts. And their spirit was crying out, give us that old time religion. It was good enough for my father. They met fathers before this, before they came to this hellhole. It was good enough for my father, it's good enough for me. And the proof that they saw something wrong with the church, they say, this old rugged cross, the very emblem of suffering, shame, and death. That was their song. This old rugged cross, the very emblem of suffering, changing, and death. And death, I hope to change it one day for a starry crown. Hope to get off the cross and be free to engage the universe. That's the starry crown.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call our right. Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.